Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Hello, Dolphins fans, and how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Tom Earnesty, on this Friday, December 28th, and I have a great show lined up for you today as we are going to discuss a lot of things leading up to the game this Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, as well as some odds and ends and a pretty big rumor that surfaced on Thursday regarding a certain quarterback that could be on the trading block this offseason and how much interest the Miami Dolphins may have in this quarterback. But let's first start talking about this Sunday's game and leading up to the game against the hated Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park. Adam Gase in his press conference on Thursday stated that Devontae Parker will play against the Buffalo Bills. And this is why people wonder that Adam Gase is on the hot seat. Devontae Parker, as many of you know, the option was picked up for next season. That equates to about $9.34 million on the salary cap. If Devontae Parker plays Sunday, and say he suffers a serious knee injury, let's say he tears an ACL or something along those lines, at the beginning of the league year in 2019, if Devontae Parker is injured, he will be on the Miami Dolphins roster and will be paid that money, $9.34 million. So Adam Gase in the press conference stating that Devontae Parker will play against the Bills, it's either he is just toying with the media or he's just absolutely foolish in his thought that playing Devontae Parker in a meaningless game where it could cost the team $9.3 million of cap space to keep this guy on the roster is just asinine. I can't even fathom the thought Devontae Parker getting stretchered off the field on Sunday with a potentially serious injury that will keep him with the Miami Dolphins into 2019. And he'll be on the roster in 2019, folks, because his money is guaranteed. So if he gets hurt, the Dolphins are stroking a check for that much money for him to either be on the roster or not on the roster, but you're paying him that money regardless. So playing him is just not the right thing to do. He should be a healthy scratch, in my opinion. Play Isaiah Ford. See what you have with Isaiah Ford. Run in the game with Stills, Amendola, Isaiah Ford, and Bryce Butler. Run with four wide receivers. I really don't care. This game is meaningless to the Miami Dolphins, but it could be very detrimental to the future of the franchise if, for some reason, Devontae Parker does get hurt. And speaking of the game on Sunday, many fans are going back and forth, and I look at it on Twitter, and I see it from both sides of view. So the Dolphins winning this game again, they finish 8-8. Whoop-de-doo, they'll be 200-200 in their last 400 NFL games. Mind-boggling, let's put it that way. However, if the Dolphins do win, they most likely will be picking right around 15 to 16 or 17 at the best. Well, in our sake, it'll be the worst because the Dolphins aren't making the playoffs. So picking that part of the first round in those lower teens is not very good, or the higher teens, I should say. So the way that we should look at this game, and again, it's twofold. I could see this fans that want to win, because the team will finish 500, everybody will feel okay about themselves at their very crazy season with injuries, all those players going on IR, quarterback play being absolutely abysmal, and still finding a way to get 8 wins is great. And no one really wants to see their team lose. I'm in that category. I don't like to see the team lose, especially against a division rival like the Buffalo Bills. You don't want to give them an upper hand going into the offseason and into 2019. But if Josh Allen plays the way he did against the Dolphins in the first meeting, then the Dolphins will end up losing anyways. And they typically struggle in Buffalo, especially at this time of the year. Game time temperature for Sunday is projecting to be about 32 degrees with about a 50% chance of snow. So it's not going to be very pretty in regards to weather in this game. So on the other side of the fence, we have fans that are saying, lose, you can be 7-9. And in that perspective, the Dolphins can be 15th in the draft at the highest or 10th in the draft. I don't think I said that right. 15th at the lowest part of the draft and 10th at the highest part of the draft. So if the team is picking 10th or 11th, say the Dolphins finish there, they have a better chance of trading up for a top pick than selecting 15th or 16th in a scenario where they win. So trading up also might be appealing for the Dolphins if they believe there is a franchise quarterback in this draft, particularly Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins. It seems like based on his tweets, he's looking to turn pro after the bowl game. He is definitely playing in the bowl game, which is perfectly fine. I mean, that's what he wants to do. Haskins, at this point, is probably the best quarterback in this draft after we found out that Justin Herbert is going back to college to play his senior season at Oregon. So going back to the record, 7-9 or 8-8. So the Dolphins right now would pick 15th. But the Dolphins also, if they have a comparable record to somebody, there is a tiebreaker advantage with all the teams who have almost the equivalent record. The tiebreaker is strength of schedule, and it means the collective records of your opponents are better than yours. So the teams whose opponents have the worst collective record wins a draft tiebreaker. So the Dolphins right now, strength of schedule is the weakest among the six or seven with the teams that are at six or seven wins, putting the Dolphins at a potential to move up the draft board to number 10. So the only way that this happens is obviously a loss to the Bills. The Falcons win against Tampa. Panthers win in New Orleans, which since the Saints already clinched the number one seed, they may rest all of their starters in this game. And we get to see Teddy Bridgewater play for the New Orleans Saints, and maybe he gets to showcase his opportunity as he's going to become a free agent. Denver beats the Chargers to finish 7-9, and the Bengals beat the Steelers and finish 7-9, as well as the Packers beating the Lions to finish 7-8-1. So if all that happens, the Dolphins are in position to finish 10th in the draft order, so they'll be picking in the top 10. So moving from 10 to, say, 2 or 3 or 4 doesn't cost as much. But if you're picking 15th or 16th, holy cow, does that cost a lot of money? And that, in regards to money, I'm talking draft capital. That is a lot that you'd have to give up to move up to the top of the draft. But with the changes potentially coming in the front office, potentially at head coach, the Dolphins, Stephen Ross will most likely tell him, go get Dwayne Haskins, do whatever it takes to get him, if they believe he's this franchise quarterback. So I can see it on both ends of the scenario. 8-8 is a good finish. 7-9 is a worse finish, but you get better draft status in regards of draft pick going into the 2019 draft, which is not very good when it comes to quarterback class. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock, and maybe Will Greer are your top three quarterback prospects. Haskins and Lock seem like they have the best chance of becoming something. Will Greer is a project and a half. I like Will Greer. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, but teams that are needing quarterbacks, which is roughly about six or seven heading into the offseason, someone's going to overpay for one of those quarterbacks, and will the Dolphins be one of them? Because as of Sunday, Armando Segredo stated that Ryan Tannehill will not be in the Dolphins' plans in 2019. He will be released or traded. Speaking of Ryan Tannehill, obviously, the thought of moving on from him is appealing for all parties, including the fan base, as it just hasn't worked out. And I posted an article on DolphinsTalk.com on Wednesday And I just released part two of my article regarding the defense on Thursday. So take a look at that on the website at DolphinsTalk.com. And it's also going to be pinned to my profile on Twitter. Just click the link on the pinned tweet, and that'll get you to part two of that article about the Dolphins' projection in offseason, cap space, and potential moves that they can make. That'll be part three as we move forward. So with Ryan Tannehill not in the plans, and if I look at my list here, looking at the teams that are looking for a quarterback, Jacksonville Jaguars, they're moving on from Blake Bortles. That's 100% guarantee at this point that Bortles will not be the starting quarterback in Jacksonville. Will they go with Cody Kessler? Absolutely not. That's not going to happen. The Washington Redskins, Colt McCoy suffered a pretty serious injury. Alex Smith, significant injury, and all reports are that his career is likely over. They just traded two draft picks to get him from Kansas City last offseason. They're going to be in the market for a quarterback. Josh Johnson's not the answer, and Mark Sanchez sure as hell is not the answer for the Washington Redskins. So the Redskins are definitely going to be looking to get a quarterback, and they're that team that's with the Dolphins at 7-8 as well. So something to really look at when the final gun sounds for these games on Sunday with Washington and the Dolphins. It's going to be very interesting. And the reason why I'm going to bring up the Redskins real quick, because of their situation at quarterback, are they a team that would maybe tinker with the idea of trading for Ryan Tannehill? I think the answer is yes. I think there's a strong chance that the Redskins could look at Ryan Tannehill as maybe a stopgap. I think they still draft a quarterback potentially this year, but Ryan Tannehill could be that placeholder quarterback. So, and he's under contract for only two more years. So I think there is a chance there that the Redskins can call the Dolphins and say, what do you want for Tannehill? But instead of releasing him outright, we'd like to have him here in Washington because he really fits Jay Gruden in the type of quarterback that he wants. Jay Gruden, I think, would really like to have a guy like Tannehill in the fold. Now, again, Tannehill's not going to be the world beater, but he's smart with the football for the most part. I mean, he's got a good touchdown to interception ratio in his career. He doesn't make bad decisions, and he'll be playing with a better line in Washington than he would with Miami. So that is a possible landing spot. The Giants are also in that realm of possibility. They could turn over the reins to Kyle Aletta. They could bring in another veteran quarterback. They could sign a young quarterback like a Teddy Bridgewater. So the Giants are in that discussion. The Raiders are popping in that discussion as well. I mean, Derek Carr hasn't thrown an interception since week five. So he's been playing for really good football, except the fact that their defense just is terrible. So, but there's rumors that Derek Carr may be going out the door in Oakland, and Gruden may hit the reset button at the quarterback position. That's still very undecided, but something to keep your eye on there as well. Outside of that, I'm going through all the other teams here. The Vikings are set. The Packers are set. The Lions, I'll get into in a little bit. They have Matt Stafford. The Bears, Mitch Trubisky. The Redskins, I already brought up. Cowboys don't need a quarterback, although they should, but Jerry Jones is about to pay Dak Prescott ungodly amount of money for some reason. Just mentioned the Giants. The Eagles are set with Carson Wentz. Nick Foles is planning on being a free agent. So where am I going with all this conversation? Well, the Dolphins have an opportunity potentially with the idea of moving on from Ryan Tannehill. They have a chance to trade him. There is a market for him to be traded. What it will take to get him, I mean, Tyrod Taylor was traded for a third-round pick to the Browns last year before the draft. So if it's a third-round pick you can get for Tyrod Taylor, is Tannehill worth a third, maybe a fourth? I think so. And you got a team that's starved at the quarterback position, like the Redskins, for instance, or even the Jaguars. There is a chance there that you could see Tannehill get traded. But either way, I think he's gone, just based on all reports that are out there. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, we're going to talk about a hot rumor that just hit yesterday in the NFL regarding a certain quarterback that has elite traits but just hasn't been able to win. Will we be interested in maybe acquiring him in Miami? I'm going to tell you in a second. I'll be right back after these words.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one website for all things Miami Dolphins. With the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, in-depth video breakdowns and analysis, as well as daily articles all year round, DolphinsTalk.com is the place to go for all of your Miami Dolphins needs. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to visit our website, DolphinsTalk.com, each and every day. Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wake in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com say.
Back. Thank you for listening again to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. This is Tom Earnesty. You can follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalkTom. Let's get into the big rumor that hit yesterday and why I believe this might be a very smart decision for the Miami Dolphins. Rumor has it that the Lions are looking to trade Matthew Stafford in the offseason. Now, before you guys throw your hands up or pound your steering wheel saying, why are you mentioning Matthew Stafford, blah, blah, blah. Let's just really quick, let me just go through this article that was posted in the Detroit News. I'll just kind of paraphrase everything here. One NFL executive believes that Stafford will be on the move in 2019 in an annual post of anonymous predictions around the league. One executive predicted that on ESPN that Stafford will be traded. Quote, Patricia and general manager Bob Quinn both spent a long time in the Patriots organization where they watched Tom Brady very closely, the insider told ESPN. They are going to want somebody who prepares and manages the game more like Tom. And a second anonymous insider said Patricia is going to say, this is not the guy that is going to get me fired. Patricia's first season with the Lions, Stafford has put together an abysmal campaign. While completion percentage is at 66.3%, those completed passes have been minimally impactful. Quarterback is just getting 6.71 yards per attempt, his lowest since 2010, while his interception percentage is at a three-year low. And unless he musters some late-game heroics in the season finale, this will mark the first season Matt Stafford hasn't orchestrated a fourth-quarter comeback in his 10-year career. Let's talk about Matt Stafford. So we saw him play this year against the Miami Dolphins. I thought he played pretty well. I thought he actually played a very good game against the Dolphins this year. But what I will say is he is that gunslinger. He is a guy that's just going to let it rip. He is not afraid to throw the interception. He's not afraid to do things to push the issue on offense. In comparison, what we've had in Miami, we've had a tentative quarterback, limited pocket presence, points, yards, all of it, terrible. So in this season, Matthew Stafford has 3,511 yards, 19 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He's fumbled six times and has an 88.7 rating this year. Career rating is 88.3. So what makes him better than Ryan Tannehill? Everything. Everything about Matthew Stafford is better than Ryan Tannehill. I think with the rap that Matt Stafford has that he just hasn't had immense amount of talent around him. He's never had a ground game, running game, whatever. So if the reports are true that Matthew Stafford is available, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, knowing that this draft class is not very good, I would trade for Matthew Stafford, and here's why. The biggest reason why is you have the salary cap space. And in my first article, I looked at about $56 million in salary cap space available once you take Ryan Tannehill off the books. So Stafford would account at the age of 31 in 2019, he would account for $29.5 million on the salary cap. In 2020, he would account for $31.5 million on the cap. However, you can get out of his contract in 2021, where his annual cap hit is $30 million, but if you release him, you only have to take $10 million of dead money. If you keep him through 2022 at the age of 34 and he plays very well, he's a free cut, and you free up $23 million of cap space. So why is this a good idea to bring in Matt Stafford, in my opinion, is because he is better at pushing the football down the field than Ryan Tannehill. He is a better overall quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. He has the ability to really produce in an offense that's predicated on moving the football down the field. I think if I am Stephen Ross and you want a quarterback and you want to make a splash in the offseason, all you're doing is moving $3 million a cap up with Ryan Tannehill's salary. So his salary is $26 million. Stafford's at $29.5 million. It's essentially you're going to lose $3 million in cap space and you still have plenty of cap. And if you go check out the article, you'll see how we get that cap space. It just makes sense to me. It just makes sense. And what would Matthew Stafford cost in a trade? Most likely the Lions will look for a first-round pick. I think you can get away with a second-round pick in 2019 to acquire Matt Stafford. And if I'm the Miami Dolphins and I'm looking at this objectively, and if Adam Gase is still the head coach of this team come December 31st and the bell closes and we move into the new year, if he is still the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, he would be the first guy into Chris Greer's office and say, we need to make an offer right now for Matthew Stafford. We need to get him in the fold in Miami. Is Matthew Stafford an upgrade over Ryan Tannehill? 110% yes. I know there's a lot of you out there that says he's still not going to get us to the promised land. But if you can make enough changes and get better at the offensive guard position, you get better at the wide receiver position, you're going to have healthier players back, and you have a pretty solid ground game if you bring back Frank Gore. Even if you don't bring back Gore, you have two good young running backs, and you can bring in another guy. But at the age of 31, Matthew Stafford provides so much more when you look at the age of the quarterbacks. Tannehill is going to be 31 during the season next year. Matthew Stafford's turning 31 after this season ends. I think it's a no-brainer. Trade a second-round pick. Trade a second-round pick this year and a conditional fourth-round pick the next year if you have to. Do something to get better at the quarterback position, because if you're not sold on a quarterback in this draft class, you make a move and find a guy. I know a lot of people are talking about Teddy Bridgewater, and I'm fine with that. I am fine with Teddy Bridgewater, but if he's going to cost $20 million a season for 2 or 3 years roughly, I would still rather have Matthew Stafford because he's got the experience, where Teddy Bridgewater unfortunately has not had the experience after his terrible knee injury and still hasn't been able to get a starting gig anywhere. In Miami, he'd be the starter. But there's going to be other teams outside of Miami that's going to look at Teddy Bridgewater and may offer him more lucrative money, like the Jaguars, maybe the Giants. There are teams that are going to look for quarterbacks. There's just no way around it. So we're not the only team in the hunt for Teddy Bridgewater, but I'll be damned if the Dolphins aren't the team that picks up the phone and says, hey, I understand you want to get rid of Matthew Stafford. We'll offer you this. Excuse me. If the Lions accept, you have a quarterback that essentially you have for 2 years. You draft a quarterback early in 2020 in a very good class. you draft a quarterback to sit behind Matthew Stafford, and in 2021, you make that decision. You make that decision in 2021 to get rid of Matt Stafford and save $20 million in cap space, essentially $10 million because you have $10 million in dead cap. And then you hand the reins over to the quarterback you draft in 2020. It just makes sense. To me, it does. And after you listen to this, hopefully, you may agree with me. I think it just makes logistical sense. If you're willing to pay Ryan Tannehill $26 million this year, you should say, yeah, we'll pay $29.5 million for Matthew Stafford. To me, it just makes perfect sense. But maybe I'm wrong. But we'll find out. I mean, this is just a rumor. I just wanted to get that out there. Came out on Thursday, the 27th, that Matt Stafford could be on the trading block in the offseason. And again, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, I am calling and I will not give up until Matthew Stafford is in a Dolphins uniform. Because you have him for 2 years, and then you can decide in 2021 if the rookie or second-year guy going in is ready to take the reins, or you keep Matthew Stafford and you move on from him in 2022. I think that's a better scenario than signing Teddy Bridgewater, over-drafting or reaching for a quarterback in this draft. I think it just makes sense. That'll do it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins news and information. Please be sure to check out my two-part series right now on the projection of the 2019 Miami Dolphins offseason and moves that you can expect the team to make, and maybe some surprises in there as well. But I figured that the Dolphins could end up with some pretty significant cap space. And even if my scenario would come true with Matthew Stafford in the fold, you'd still have a lot of money to spend in the offseason to upgrade your two guard positions as well as some other positions on defense. But please be sure to check out the first part, which is regarding the offense and special teams. The second part that was released on Thursday regarding the defense. And my third part will be released later today on Friday for free agent players right now that are unrestricted free agents going into the offseason until they get tagged or whatever else. This is all hypothetical stuff. Go check it out. I appreciate everybody listening to the show. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalkTom, and be sure to follow our main page. Follow Mike on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. Thank you for listening. I am out. Everyone have a great Friday. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.